began to listen to the words from King Solomon. So we've just had a new king crowned. The world has seen the glory, the splendor. You know what? As I watched it, I thought Ian Hamilton has seen something even greater this week. Whether it's the pomp and ceremony and the opulence, you think that was magnificent? Wait until you arrive in heaven and you see the glory and the presence of not just heaven as a home, but of God. Where there's no solar panels, no power stations, but just the brilliance of God. I think for most people, they're speechless for 1,000 years, just soaking it all in. We mourn their loss, but we praise God that being in the presence of God is in a better place. So we saw this coronation last night, and there's wisdom in the book of Proverbs. 3 verses I'll give you for the king. If a king judges the poor with fairness, his throne will be established forever. King Charles has taken the reign as the monarch at 74 years age. If he wants a long reign, the book of Proverbs tells him what to do. Be fair with the poor. Make sure that when you make a judgment, it has God's grace and love behind it. Because here's another verse, Charles. Love and faithfulness keeps a king safe. Through love, his throne is made secure. If he loves his family first, and then the people in his wider connections and all that he works with, and the other people that come under the dominion as such of the United Kingdom, his throne will be made secure. I love this verse. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. Now that was written before you and I had a Bible. Only kings had access to the history and scriptures of Israel. The priests also, but when a king learnt it, when a king studied it, God would reveal to him matters that nobody knew anything else about. This is a verse for you and I. You want to become a royal subject of the living God? Then study scripture. You will discover matters. You will discover truth. You will discover wisdom that you've never ever contemplated before, and it will help you understand your world. At this stage, I think it's apt that we pray for our king. There's a man sitting here today that has witnessed 2 coronations in his lifetime. And I've asked Ray if he'd come up and pray for King Charles. Because we are told to honor the king. We are told to pray for the king. It doesn't matter whether you like him or not. The wisdom of Scripture says, pray for the king. Thank you, Ray.
Actually, I lived under, I think it's 4 monarchs, and they all needed prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amount of Scripture was quoted throughout the world last night. And our first prayer is that people in every nation may listen to what you said, the advice, the wisdom that you imparted in your word, and especially for our new king. We pray for him. He will certainly need it. He'll need your help. And we pray that he may be a great witness to our nation, that they may see him putting into practice the advice that he received last night. And we feel that what we saw last night was fulfilling scripture in that your word went round the world. And we think of the millions of people who have heard it, saw it on their screens, and may still be seeing it. We just pray that your word may have great impact in the life of our nation. And many people may come to realize that your son is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us all to give him that honor here and now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Ray. I could nearly hear Queen Elizabeth saying those exact words if she was alive to her son. So the book of Proverbs, there's wisdom in here for fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, children, husbands, wives, men and women, the righteous, the wicked. There's wisdom for teachers and students, workers and the lazy, the rich, the poor, friends and enemies. And I counted them up for you. So if you want to be a good father and you're struggling with it, read the book of Proverbs, because there's 22 verses specifically written on how to be a good father. There's 40 verses to sons. There's 15 verses to mothers. And there's only one for a daughter. Clearly, sons need way more instruction than daughters. But to children, there's 18 verses specifically to children. Husbands, you want to be the best husband possible? There are 6 proverbs there for you. Wives, there's 15. Men, there's 20. You want to know how to be a good woman? There's 17 verses. You want to know how to be right and do what's good and make business transactions fairly? There's 26 verses there for you. And be warned that there are 87 verses on how easily it is to do what the wicked would do. You want to be a teacher, whether that's as a father or a teacher, or whether a teacher in your job. There are 11 verses in the book of Proverbs just for you. You want to know how to be a good student, on how to do well in your grades and what you can make of your life. There are 7 verses for you. You want to know how to work, how to handle your boss, whether you should have a good work ethic. There are 15 verses for you. And just in case you don't want to work, there are 17 verses for those that choose to be lazy. You're rich. There are 26 verses expressing to you on how to live well with your wealth. You're poor, 34 verses on how to handle your poverty or the scramblings of day-to-day economy. You want to be a friend? You want to have friends? There's 14 verses in the book of Proverbs. And you want to know what to do with your enemies? There are 6 verses there specifically on how to treat them. It is a remarkable book. And I would suggest to you that you open it with your family each night and read a couple of Proverbs, maybe 4 or 5, and ask your kids, ask mom and dad, what you got out of those Proverbs. You will be amazed how much wisdom will come from the page into the minds, especially the impressionable minds. So if I were to ask you this morning, who are you? I don't think anybody would put their hand up and say, you know, I'm wise. Some of you have put your hand up, well, I'm stupid. If I would ask who are you, oh, well, I'm a builder, I'm a doctor, I'm a plumber, I'm a carpenter, I'm a truck driver, I'm a housewife, I'm a teacher. You'd probably tell me what you do rather than actually who you are. So I can partly tell who you are. If I would ask you to stand up here and say, this is who I am, you would then probably want to express where you've come from, and you'd probably want to explain some of the journey, some of the travels, some of the influences that have been upon you. And I know exactly what has come to you. This is who you are. You are all of these. You have input from your parents. You have input from your peers, from education, culture, nationality, religion, Bible, outsiders, geography, media. All of these things help you be you. All of these things have helped you create your worldview. You may not even know you've got a worldview. But from all these influences, you are who you are, what you think. So you are the sum of all those influences. But I've also got to say, you are also the sum of your ignorances. Because if you have ignored your parents, if you have ignored education, if you have ignored the Bible, if you have ignored your nationality, your culture, then you are probably a lesser person for it. Nevertheless, you are still all those. You see, the graphic I chose has a little cable because we've got to plug our phones in, we've got to plug our TVs in, we've got to plug our electrical appliances in to get the power to create them to go. Those things make you go, but it depends what you're plugged into. Your mind was designed to believe everything that you feed it. You were born curious. You were born to learn. And if you want to be wise with what you learn, then you have to feed it faith. This is your mind. You've got to feed it truth. You've got to feed it love. You've got to feed it hope. Those things will create a wise person. So this is how wisdom works. It's simple, really. You listen to it, you accept it, and then you obey it. So if you read a verse from Proverbs, you've heard it there, you accept it, and then you obey it, you are a wise person. Here's the way stupid works. You listen, you reject it, and then you defy it. So you read a verse from Proverbs, and you go, I hear it, but I don't want that, and you do the absolute opposite. That's the way it works. You either listen, accept, and obey, or you listen, you reject, and defy, but it's your choice. That's why Solomon said to his sons, hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it, for it is your life. Everything that's feeding your mind should be really good for you. So you notice that one of those little influences was media. How much media do you get? How much information is downloaded into your brain, say, compared to the Bible? Or from your parents? Or from your church? Or from peers that you trust? Are you listening to all the media that you don't even know where it's coming from, but you think it could be right? You get to choose. If it's instructing you to be a better person, then it's probably wisdom. If it's telling you to do something dangerous or hurtful or sad or destructive, that's probably not wisdom. What about this? You need to write this down if you're a parent. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 17. Better a small serving of vegetables than a fattened calf with hatred. I don't like my vegetables. I don't want my broccoli. I hate the silver bean. Don't want the bit. How's long you heard that? Kid, it's in the Bible. Pull it out next time. Better a small serving of vegetables. God said that. It's far better that you eat vegetables with people that you love than have a steak with people that hate you. Let your kids know that. We've convinced our grandson to eat a few more vegetables because it's in the Bible. Look at this. Better the wounds of a friend than the kiss of an enemy. Anybody brave enough to give me an interpretation on that? Can anybody explain that to me, please? Better the wounds of a friend than the kiss from an enemy. What's that saying? Somebody else. Yeah. Sorry, people. Friends will tell you the truth, especially trustworthy friends. You may not like it, and it may sting. Have you ever used that Bongella stuff on your gums? You read the little saying, there will be slight smarting. Okay, it's going to hurt a little bit. It like flipping hurts. It really stings. Slight smarting. Why didn't they just say it's going to really hurt? A friend's advice may stop you from causing all sorts of trouble. A friend will not tell you to keep driving even though there's a cliff up there. An enemy might. Yeah, the road's clear. Keep going. The kiss of an enemy probably comes in the form of flattery. And they try and tell us we're better than we are when we need to hear, especially things like, you're sinning. Stop doing that. That's a lie. That's dishonest. You need to talk to God about this. You need to sort that issue out. We don't like hearing those things. They sometimes can feel like wounds. Well, I'm bigger than that. It's not their fault. It's not mine. But those wounds can help us be a better person. You see, accepting wisdom makes you a better person. But rejecting wisdom makes you a foolish person. Solomon was so concerned about his sons hearing this wisdom. In fact, wisdom is mentioned 111 times in the book of Proverbs. And he knew they were hearing wisdom. He knew he was teaching them the truth, but he also knew that some of them had this thing about, well, so what, Dad? You might be the king of Israel, but I've got some better ideas. I'd like to do it my way. And so 72 times throughout the book of Proverbs, Solomon refers to the word as a fool. And it's written there because Solomon didn't want his sons to be foolish, to be dumb, to be stupid. So he wrote, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools hate knowledge. Fools invite ruin. Fools detest turning from evil. Fools are deceived. Fools are hot-headed. Fools despise their mothers. Fools are godless. Fools bring grief to their fathers. Fools have corrupt lips, fools are quick to quarrel. And that's just some of them. Can you imagine reading that at your home devotions after tea, the day after your son or your daughter has faced something absolutely stupid, maybe done every something stupid at school? And suddenly the word of God is reinforcing that they're on a foolish path if they keep doing that. Or somebody's done something foolish to them. And they read a verse like, fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that helps your child now pray for that other child that is on a foolish path. Can you see how that can change their thinking? How do you recognize a fool? Solomon put it this way. You recognize fools from their mouth. There's 36 verses regarding the foolish mouth, 37 verses about bad lips, and 21 about the bad tongue. Solomon knew that what came out of their mouth or what escaped from their lips or what their tongue spread would reveal whether they're foolish or not. Solomon understood this. Words matter. Oh, Solomon knew exactly what goes into your mouth is good, can be good for you, but what comes out of your mouth can be bad for you. Control it. Solomon knew a foolish person uses words to hurt people. He said a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. One of the worst things that New Zealanders are good at is sarcasm. We know how to put people down through cutting words. Verbal abuse. When I put that graphic there of that gun, you know, I just thought, whoa, America's got a gun problem, but New Zealand's got a mouth problem. We are so quick to hurt people with our words. When Solomon's saying, hey, a wise person heals with their words. Gracious words are a honeycomb sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. A wise person will hold their tongue. A wise person will encourage. A wise person will uplift. They'll speak grace-filled words. And when they don't know what to say, they will pray. That's a wise person. And Solomon wanted his sons to be those type of leaders, those type of people that would rule the people underneath them. He worked this word full so hard. And yet, it doesn't mean that they're ignorant. You see, these people we would say are stupid. They're foolish. Somebody took a photo of their dumbness. Never, ever would a duck shooter lean back on his gun like that. A crocheted mask, I'm not sure that's going to be effective. Diving with a LPG tank, it could be an explosive dive, but... And whatever parent took that photo of a kid kissing a pig, we might say, that is absolutely stupid. How dumb, how foolish. But foolish in the Bible doesn't mean stupid or dumb. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The son, what he did was absolutely crazy, tragic nearly. Arrogantly and selfishly, he turned his back on his dad, his mother, his land, his upbringing, his teaching, and his people. He deliberately chose to walk away from all the proverbs that his dad and mum had taught him all his life. It was horrible with what he did. He demanded his inheritance. He left home loaded with riches. He wasted everything. That is dumb. That is stupid. That is, what an idiot. But he wasn't a fool. I'll tell you why. Because you get to the end of that story, he looked up to heaven and he said, I have sinned against my God. He was not ignorant. He knew the way. He remembered the instruction of his father. And that's why he went home broken, shattered, but wiser. And he was embraced. You see, a fool in the Bible is someone who has rebelled against God. They don't want the words of God. They don't want the truths of God. They walk away from it. A fool in the Bible is somebody who rejects God's wisdom. Jesus clearly taught this through this marvelous little illustration that we used to sing about on Sunday school. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. When the rains came down and the floods rose up and the winds blew, the house on the rock stood firm, but the house on the sand went crash. Jesus was teaching wisdom about being wise and being foolish. Build your life on the rock of truth, on the wisdom from above that has been taught to you from generation to generation or from whenever you began to learn it. But don't be like the fool to think you can build anywhere and do anything. One day that'll catch up and there will be absolute destruction. So today, who are you? Are you a wise person or a foolish person? This week I had sad news too. My first rally leader died. He was the man that just barely 20 years old, drove this red rally van into South Auckland where I lived, and with a smile on his face every Monday, picked up a whole ragtag bunch of boys. We'd jump in and we'd persecute him and we'd swear at him and we'd kick him and we'd fight and we'd spit at him. But every Monday he came back. He just had something about him. This love, this patience, this kindness. He used to take me to stock cars. Sometimes on a Saturday night. One night he took me to hear Dr. Billy Graham. I'd run away from home and it was Ernie that found me on the streets of South Auckland. And he brought me a can of Coke and a pie. And everything was kapai. Until we went to hear Dr. Billy Graham. And that night God's Spirit touched this little 12-year-old heart. And without telling you the full story, that night I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. I thanked him for dying on the cross. I asked him to take my sins away. And I asked God to be my Father. That was the wisest thing I had ever done in my life, and still today it was the greatest decision I ever made. I didn't know I was being wise. I just needed to be loved and forgiven. And Ernie Mays had taught me that. He had brought wisdom into my head. I was plugged in with so many other things. I didn't even know what the Bible was. I didn't even know there was a God. I didn't even know there was a son called Jesus Christ who had died for my sins. But those influences began to shape my heart. Imagine if I'd walked away that day. Those ignorances would have shaped my heart. I presume if you're sitting here today, then you are a wise person because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know there is a one true living God, and one day, a breath away, the moment after you take your last breath on earth, you will be before that living God. And you will know then whether you made the wisest decision on earth or were you the greatest fool on earth for leaving His love out of your life. Here's the thing about God's love. Even if you haven't got wisdom, you can ask for it. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. I didn't deserve it. I'd done nothing to earn it. But as a 12-year-old boy, I began to appreciate wisdom when my heart, through a small miracle, changed. And now I've been trying to learn all this time, and I'm as thick as, and I still make mistakes. I'm stupid, but I'm not ignorant, because I know what the Word of God says. And I have to obey it like you. I have to follow it like you. I have to do and become one of the sons of God and hear the royal instructions from Scripture. And I have to teach it to my children. And I have to teach it to my grandchildren. Because that's what a wise father and grandfather does. And allow God's wisdom to speak to their hearts. So this week, maybe you can dive into the book of Proverbs. I'll guarantee any one of you that reads anything from Proverbs this week, there'll be something to chew on, something to munch, something to ponder, and there'll probably be something to change. You will be wiser for it. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this good church family that chooses to grow in you, to chooses to grow in your love in the community, that chooses to bring wisdom and grace, peace and kindness to a restless world. We pray for our community, that the people that are fools out there may lay their foolishness at the cross and become wise unto salvation. We pray that the love of God can somehow reach them. Maybe it's through us. Maybe it's through our words. Maybe it's through our actions. But either way, may we be true to you in all things. Bless the people here this day. And may they see Proverbs working in their life this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. The Lord bless you.